This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, you're listening to Bookmark. I'm Umar Paganampike Bagan, and this is Invisible Cities, the show in which I take you on a journey to all of those places, both real and imagined, to all of those places you can only find within the pages of a good book. Today, I'm taking you to Kampung Bukit Kuen Satu in Kuantan to tell you about a man who was the pillar of his community, a man remembered for his stories and the stories he told, and how those very stories shape both the people and the places around him. That man just happens to be Amir Hafizi's father, and so joining me today to tell me about his father and his brand new comic called Scenes of the Father is Amir Hafizi. Amir, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. And I'm here, not my father. He's still
that's a good point.
In
yes.
In the kampung. Yes.
Scenes of the Father, I'm assuming that is a play on Sins of the Father?
Yes, it is. Actually, I conceived of this as a movie. It's one of those heartwarming Mr. Holland's Opus kind of thing. So I pitched it to some production companies. It's like Astro and whatever. But the conversation is always like this. Hey, do you have a movie? I mean, I said, yeah, I have an idea for a great movie. It's about my father pissing. And then they just walked off. Seriously, Gaya, if you're listening to this, I'm sorry, I wasn't joking. So we were at a party and she asked me whether I had a story. So I said, yes, it's about my father pissing. She immediately walked off. I think she thought...
that it was a joke.
No, that I was intentionally trying to offend her. I mean... I think because she looked like horrified and left, but that's the real story. The thing is, I spoke about this story to the late Yasmin Ahmad last time. I said, I have great stories about my father. My father's story is that he opened the village by inviting the Menteri Besar of Pahang at the time. And then they went on a car ride with a bunch of other guys and they started peeing by the roadside. And the place where they peed became the entrance to the kampung where I'm living in right now. I mean, where my family lives right now.
This is a story that sounded, as I was reading your book, it's a story that sounds like it's been brewing in your brain for a very long time.
Yeah.
Like you really wanted to tell this story. It's very heartfelt.
2004, I think. And here's the thing, I have to give a shout out to Sharon Bakker. Here's how it is. Sharon Bakker invited me to readings from readings. If you know, it's a readings thing where writers get to read their stuff in
Correct.
Front of an audience.
It's every month, once a month on a Saturday.
Last Saturday of the month, every month. And she's been wonderful. Bernice Cholley started it. Sharon Bakker took it, ran with it. So both of those women, thank you so much. And here's what Sharon did for the story. She invited me to read something. I said, I don't have anything. I just have... profanity-laden stuff I've written on my blog.
Which, to be fair, is fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
I love it.
Oh, thank you.
But carry on.
Okay. So anyways, I said, never mind, I can write something for like 10 minutes. So I wrote something for 10 minutes and I read the piece in front of an audience and I think they liked it. I timed myself, 10 minutes, so it cannot be 20 or whatever. So, and then years later, she contacted me and said, hey, remember that piece you read? Yeah, it was so long ago, but I still remember it. Yeah, why? I want to compile it into a book called Readings from Readings 2. It's her second collection. I said, I want to have the piece in the book. I said, okay, let me find the thing. By that time, my hard drive has crashed a few times. And I couldn't find it. I couldn't find the story. I said, never mind, I'll write it again. But I couldn't because I can't anymore. And then she said, never mind, let me look through my boxes because every time a writer brings something to read, she would actually keep things in a box.
She does, yes.
I mean, I love that woman. She actually kept this printed thing that I, this A4, there's two A4 size papers, whatever. She kept it. So she transcribed everything, put it in the book, it's out. Actually, this piece is in Readings from Readings 2. And then later on, my good friend, Ong Chi Yang. Ong Chi Yang is an international artist. I'll talk about him in a bit, but talk about me first. So, no, let's talk about the story of this book. So he wanted...
So how did it become a comic book?
That's the thing. He read Readings from Readings 2. He said, I love this story. Can I draw a thing for it? And I said, yeah, sure, dude. But you're doing stuff for French comics publishers.
That's right.
You're doing Transformers and Star Trek and what was it? Mark Waid, the writer for Kingdom Come. He's working with him right now. So he's doing that. And I said, how can I get international comic artists like you? I said, I don't know. I can do like one drawing. I said, we can do an illustrated storybook. And I said, that's a format we've never tried before for Maplay Comics. And I thought it would work with him because his style is as such. Ong Chi Yang's style. Chi. I think Twitter moniker is Chubby Chi Chi.
Nice.
He used to be fat, but now he's really thin. he looks like a stick insect sometimes. But anyway, Chi, hello Chi. So anyway, so So he drew it, and as he drew it, I told him, oh no, that doesn't look like my father. Let me give you some reference point. And he said, no, I'm just not going to draw his face. And that became a thing. And it became an illustrated storybook, went through the DP process, and then it came out. But as I was getting the pages from him, I thought, hey, this really looks gorgeous. But yeah, but it's not a comic book per se. It is an illustrated storybook, technically.
Yeah.
But whatever it is, it's a publication. I don't care.
It's not a comic in the traditional sense where there are panels and the story flows from panel to panel. No, it's more like how many children's books work, where there's an illustration and a little bit of text at the bottom. How was that process working with Chi? I mean, he already had the story. Mm-hmm. Did you give him full creative control to come up with whatever he wanted?
Yes, that's the only way Chi works. And as an international comics artist of that stature, I'd be like, okay, up to you, dude. I mean, I trust you. And here's the thing, my trust was rewarded. It was, I looked at it, it was gorgeous. I loved it. We changed the font though. So originally it was like a typewritten font.
And now it looks a little more handwritten.
Yes, it looks a little bit like that. So yeah. But that's minor details. The thing is, people would pay like, I don't know, like recently I went to an art gallery, there was a piece for like 500,000 or 600,000 for one piece. And I was like, what? And we're selling like 100 paintings, basically, in for like $20. Yeah, you can get it.
and you know what? The illustrations are absolutely beautiful. It's weird. I love my comic books, but I'm a words guy in the sense that every time I read a comic book, I read the words first, and then I kind of go back and look at the pictures afterwards. I get caught up in the words, and it's funny. You gave me a copy of this book. Actually at the premiere of Batman v Superman.
Oh, Lord.
And I got around to reading it yesterday, and literally as I finished it, I WhatsApped you because it's a fantastic story, man. And I think what got me was the fact that I bet there are hundreds and thousands of stories exactly like this in the hundreds of kampongs all over Malaysia.
Yes, I mean, people don't give credit to teachers nowadays. They're like burdened with so many things. But here's the thing. Teachers, traditionally, I believe that there are three professions that are the backbone of any country. Teachers, nurses, police officers. These are the ones who are actually taking care of the country. They're the ones running the country, not politicians. So, teachers in the old days, they were the pillars of the community. They were the educated. If you're an educated person back in the old days under the British rule or whatever, blah, 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 what do you become? You either become a menteri besar or something, kerani kerajaan, or you become a teacher. Who's closest to the people? It's the teachers.
Correct.
It's the teachers, the ketua kampung, or whatever. They were the ones who built the country. So when anything happens to the country, whatever else, they are the ones who are going to feel it the most. You know.
And with that credibility, that you start the book by telling the story about how every kampung is by the river and then every year without fail they all get flooded. And it was with that credibility, your dad being the teacher, being the educated man in the kampung, decides to go and pay a visit to the Menteri Besar and say, hey, we got to sort this out. If not, every year I'm, you know.
No, they had to move every time. That's the point. Every year they had to move. And he was like, what the hell? My father is quite a sarcastic person as well. So he's like, no, this is dumb. This is stupid. What the hell are you guys doing? Blah, 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 blah. I was like, okay, so let's move. So that's how it is.
Talk to me about growing up, because you grew up
in the kampung. Yeah.
In the kampung. So talk to me about growing up and what that life was like.
Snakes would come up into our house. We had like multiple poisonous snakes. There's the, I don't know what it is. There's ula katam tebu, which I later found out could kill you in 2 minutes with this poison. We didn't know. we had ula tedung sela is the brown one. Tedung senduk is the black one. The tedung sela is the more aggressive one. That one will chase after you. Stuff like that. But growing up, I mean, most of the stories are actually with, I was a wuss growing up. I watched TV, man. I watched TV, I read books, that's all I did. But my brothers and sisters, they were the ones who...
Well, out there hunting the snakes.
No, my sister would catch the snakes and cut them up. Because he said, oh, this is not a dangerous snake. This is one of those stupid leaf snakes. So she cut, and then she would cut it up. And she was like, what, 4 years old, 8 years old? I don't know. So we had like packs of wild boars coming up at night, and they would camp in front of our house. So we had like monitor lizards attacking our, and they look like small alligators, okay? Attacking our chicken. My father also liked to experiment with stuff. He had a bunch of land. So he planted all sorts of trees. He read quail. I think you read about that. He also dug a hole, filled it up with cement. I mean, lined it with cement and filled it with water and kept some freshwater fish. He was testing out a lot of stuff. He was a He was one of those botanists. He's long bottom. Who's that guy? Neville Longbottom.
Neville Longbottom.
So he's a botanist kind of guy. He's a wannabe farmer, but he's a teacher.
But it was different for you as well, because reading the book, even in the kampong, because your dad was a teacher, he spoke English, he was an educated man, you grew up with these biographies of famous people, with Reader's Digests, with the television.
Yes.
TV. So that must have been different for you, from the other children in the kampung, I'm assuming.
Yeah, for a lot of them. But then here's the thing. We would have a Quintrix national TV set. Before that, there was a huge black and white thing. But there were other people in the kampung who would spend all their money on the latest home theater systems. So we were not the richest in any sense of the word. But I was weird growing up. I would memorize theme songs from cartoons, and I get really frustrated when no other kids would actually realize that I'm singing the theme song to Silverhawks, man. It's Silverhawks. And they were like, what? I don't know, just see colors. Colors, silvery, flashy. I said, no. So, but most of it was a feeling of, I need to get out. I need to get out of this place. It was about...
And was it because of the books and the television that inspired you to get out?
Yeah, I'll tell you a story about my 8th birthday. I read in books that people have birthday parties. And on birthday parties, you get a cake and you get a present. So when I was 8 years old, I forced my parents to buy me a birthday cake and give me a birthday present. And for the longest time, I think for like more than blast town, for teens of years until I got to KL... That was the only birthday I celebrated. My father had this collection of Reader's Digest. I'm thankful to him for being a bookworm. He had a collection of Reader's Digest from 1956 to 1983.
Wow.
Almost complete. And get this, 3 years ago, I took all of them and brought it to KL. I keep it in, I put it up on Instagram. There's a picture of it. So it's all the things that he had, and I put it there. But he had three sets of encyclopedias, and so it was there. He kept it. I don't dare to take it because he'll freak out. But he's very territorial when it comes to those things. But I don't think he missed those things because that was kept in another house. So when you're growing up in Bukit Queen in those days, okay, get this. Bukit Queen, right? Kampung Bukit Queen Satu. We got 24 hours electricity in 1986 when I was 6 years old. I still remember that day. Before that, it was 12 hours a day. So it's at 7 p.m., they turn on a generator somewhere. So if the guy got drunk, or if he's absent, or sakit, or he's in the toilet.
You just had no electric.
You just had no electricity until like 7:30. And at 7 o'clock, there was the Incredible Hulk. I was like, no!
Yes. Bill Bixby. Yeah.
No.
Oh, you mean
it
the cartoon?
It was the cartoon.
Yeah, the cartoon with the Stan Lee narration. Stan Lee did the narration in the beginning.
You're true believers, blah, blah, blah. That thing. I was like, no, it's 7:15, what the hell? So, and then we got TV3 in 1986. I still remember the first broadcast of TV3. It was Bulletin Utama, or then Kepada, it was Berita TV3 or something. I can't remember. It was not called Bulletin Utama. Bulletin is a new thing. It used to be something else. And there was a broadcast mentioning us. We were like, oh, we matter. It's like, kepada semua penonton kami di Pantai Timur yang baru, oh, selamat datang. So, wow, they really knew we existed. That was how it was back then, man. I mean, people nowadays will be like, oh, there's no Wi-Fi. I said, dude, there was no electricity.
We had no lights, exactly.
and it's still happening in parts of Malaysia. In Sarawak, I think about 70% has electricity, or 30% doesn't have it, or is it the other way around? I'm not sure.
Talk to me about your dad, the storyteller. He sounds like such a fascinating guy. You start off the book with this great story about how Tarzan lives within the folds of the ears of a white elephant.
Not the folds. He lives in the ear canal.
Oh, the ear canal. Sorry. Yes, he lives within the ear canal of a white elephant.
He's a great storyteller. I think I checked with my sister because some of the facts in the books are not in order, and my family has been giving me grief for it. And whatever else. But I said, is it true about this story? Yeah, I had to listen to it too, because that was your favorite story and he had to read it before you go to sleep. Not read it, tell it lah. So my father didn't buy children's books because he already had Reader's Digest and whatever else. But he needed to tell stories still. So I forced him to tell me stuff. So that was the story that he would tell me. And I feel so cozy. It was like, oh God, yeah, it's so nice. Because have you ever been on the East Coast when it rained really hard?
No. During the monsoon, you mean?
During the monsoon, you know that this could be flooded because it's like, water. Now, some white guys, right, they say, oh, who's afraid of a little rain? You've never had that kind of
You've
rain,
You've never
man.
Seen rain like this.
You've never seen. It's like rain was coming up. You know, some writers say, oh, rain was coming from above. It was coming. It was Forrest Gump. In the book, Forrest Gump, it said rain was coming from above, from below, from side. That was exactly how it was because the water was just like everywhere. You went out, it doesn't matter what you wore, you get wet. All right? And when it's raining, so, but the good thing about rain is that if it floods, you get some days off from school. So I was praying for flood every year. It's like, come on, flood the thing so that I don't have to go. And my favorite thing ever was, if it's flooded, I'd like to eat instant noodles, particularly Maggi Ayam. I love Maggi Ayam back then. I can't eat so much right now, but I was like, it's really good. I mean, the taste of that with a lukewarm Milo, my God, man. And as it was raining outside, holy, that was really great. And yeah, so that's how he called me to sleep, how he put me to sleep. It would be like, oh, it's raining, so, you know, Tarzan, you know, how does he get warm? I said, oh, he would chaka the tai telinga, the earwax, and build a bonfire. And that's actually based on my brother. And then I follow my brother sometimes. And he actually would scrape the cow dung, and then he would light it up. So that, you know, it's good fuel, so that cows would have some warmth and it keep the mosquitoes away.
I mean, is it possible to tell a story like this without rose-tinted glasses? I mean, are we just prone to nostalgia when we think back about not just our childhood, but kampung life or those years of yore?
Well, I guess if someone is like beaten up, I've seen some weird stuff going on as well in the rural areas. Things, but they're not worse than what I've seen in the urban centers. It's the same thing. It's just people doing people things in different settings. Is it possible to look at it without rose-tinted glasses? Yes. But when I set out to do this, I didn't set out, oh, I'm going to wear my rose-tinted glasses today and write this stuff. This is how I remembered it. I guess going through it, let's say if you encountered a snake, it would be horrifying to you. But 10 years later, be like, yeah, remember that time when I encountered the snake? I was like, oh, it was fun, but yeah.
And what's your dad up to these days? You say at the beginning of the book that he's still riding around in his tractor.
Yeah, that was written in 2004. He had 4 strokes, one after, not at the same time, but we had an MRI of his brain, so the doctor said he had 4 strokes. He got the first stroke, got back up again, smoked again. You know, second stroke, third stroke. The fourth one affected his cerebellum. So that, you know, screwed with his balance. So he's now confined to a wheelchair. But he's, you know.
But is he still telling stories?
No, he's yelling profanities, I think, right now. No.
So that's where you get it from?
No, actually, I got it from my mother. Oh! I'll tell you about my mother, but it's not appropriate for broadcast. But yeah, but my father is, he's sick right now. He's quite, you know, it's quite bad. He's got diabetes. He got a heart attack when he was 39, and then he got high blood pressure. He's got all these old people things. And he had it when he was younger. So he's like that. But I think he's 75 now. I think he lived a good life.
And what did he think about the book?
He read the... Okay, I think I passed him a copy of Readings from Readings 2. So he read the story already. I think he started to point out discrepancies or something.
Fantastic.
Like that.
Ever the teacher. That's great.
So, no, this thing didn't happen. No, this was when... Blah, 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 blah. And I was like, yeah.
Creative license, Dad. Creative license.
So it's just in order. Everything happened. Just not perhaps in that order. I made a mistake in the original story, which I corrected in this book. The kampung was not open in 1968 in the book. In this book, I corrected it was open in 1971. 1971 was when it was officially open, but people started moving since 1968 from the original Kampung Batusawa. Kampung Batusawa is still there. In fact, they opened another Kampung Batusawa somewhere else.
But that's memory, right? And yeah. And that's part of what makes it great. When you retell the story of your childhood about growing up, I'm sure you're going to miss the dates by a couple of years. You're going to make a mistake about the kind of snake that you encountered. But I think it adds to, at least in my opinion, the kind of nostalgic storytelling that makes this such a compelling read. Because it's coming from your memory. Yeah. Before I let you go, though, I need to ask you, how's Marplay Comics doing? It's just over a year, right, since you started?
Yeah, we started being active in December 2014. That's when we released our first book. Right now, we have 8 titles. 2 more titles coming up this May. We released our most recent title, though, was Comet Ronyo. It did very well, I think, at PBAKL. And I have an announcement about Scenes of the Father. Our English titles will be available in the UK. So we got a London distributor. It will be available soon. People who are listening to this in the UK, don't go yet.
I have a wide listener base in England right now.
The thing is, we piggyback on some friends and struck a deal with, I think, Daunt. Daunt is a bookstore chain. Also, Forbidden Planet.
Yes, comic book chain.
Yeah, and Rough Trade.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so basically, it's getting sexier because we go international.
Look at that.
So we talked to some distributors as well. Initial discussions only with people from China and Indonesia. And also, our next book will be available in Canada, but I don't know for how widely. This one is done by an Indonesian artist. So we're doing all these things. We're going to continue doing what we're doing. But at the same time, we are branching out and opening. And we want to translate all of our titles to whatever language it is, whatever language necessary. If you want Chinese, I would really want to go to South America if I can. Because they have a vibrant comics community there, but I don't know anyone there.
I mean, where can people find Scenes of the Father?
Scenes of the Father is available. It hasn't been picked up by the bookstores yet because there's been a backlog of stuff, whatever. But you can buy it at Kedai Fiksi. Kedai Fiksi carries it. You can also buy it from our website, www.maplecomics.com.my. That's MAPLECOMICS.com.my.
That was author and comics publisher Amir Hafizi. Go out and buy Scenes of the Father and, you know, other Marplay comics as well. I promise you will not be disappointed. If you missed any part of this program or are just looking for more Bookmark to sink your teeth into, be sure to check out our podcasts at bfm.my. This has been Invisible Cities, Bookmark on the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.